Well, as we've been reporting this morning, the federal government will release its budget update later today after new figures show GDP declined in the September quarter. The government says its objective is to balance the books within 5 years. But all eyes are on credit agencies and whether they will trigger a downgrade if the document does not provide a credible path back to surplus. In the meantime, Finance Minister Matthias Cormann has been coy about whether the aim of a balanced budget by 2021 is still a feature of today's MAIF. Here's some of what he told Sky News yesterday.
We've again focused on making sure that the policy decisions taken by the government, that the net effect of policy decisions taken by the government improves the budget bottom line, and that we continue to be on an improving trajectory to get the budget back into balance as soon as possible.
That's Finance Minister Matthias Cormann speaking there. Let's head to our Canberra studio. Michelle Grattan is standing by. Good morning, Michelle.
Hi, Hamish.
The government holding its breath, really, for the ratings agencies today once MAIFO is released.
Yes, there's always a bit of a game before these sorts of figures come out, and the government, as you say, is being somewhat coy and cautious beforehand. But the ratings agencies will be looking not just at the numbers, but also at the credibility of the numbers, because the government clearly will want to put the best gloss on the numbers and make them look as good as possible, but they have to stand up in the eyes of the agencies.
I noticed Chris Richardson, the economist, this morning casting doubt on whether this sort of plan to get back to the black was credible. Given that even within the last sort of year, we've seen these huge fluctuations in commodity prices, the budget clearly, you know, had the wrong numbers in terms of what they expected the prices to be at. How can it be argued that any forecast of a return to surplus would be credible?
I guess there are two things here. One is whether the numbers are put together in such a way as to look their best, but when you peel the onion layers, they don't look so good. And the other thing is what you're alluding to, which is the difficulty of actually forecasting ahead on things like commodity prices. Now, the people making those forecasts, the Treasury experts, can really only do their best in that regard. The record has been mixed in the past, of course, about budgetary numbers, and often they're way out, but it's a pretty imprecise science that has to be said on their side as well.
A bit of news about today regarding Malcolm Turnbull's speech to the Republican anniversary dinner at the weekend. Listening to Erica Betts this morning on AM, he said the Republic is not of any high priority to the Australian public right now. He's right, isn't he?
I think that is right. I think that people have put other issues, obviously, much more to the fore, issues that affect their day-to-day lives, cost of living, the general state of the economy, the outlook for it, health, education, and so on. And one of the reasons for that, of course, is that the Republic is not seen to be on the agenda at the moment. There is widespread agreement, although Labor doesn't agree with this, that the question of the Republic should wait until after the Queen's reign. Labor would prefer much more to be done now, but more widely, I think that there is that feeling that this is something for later rather than at the moment.
Now, Rob Cullerton, the One Nation Senator, is set to serve out his term as an independent. Pauline Hanson was speaking a short time ago on Channel 7, saying that he wasn't working as a team player. Let's listen to her.
Rod never turned up. He wasn't interested. He was too busy running around the place, doing his own media, or actually going to other meetings and dealing with these legal proceedings. So he was not involved in the whole process, or he was always late.
Pauline Hanson speaking on Channel 7 a short time ago. I guess the question is, if One Nation is somewhat fragmenting in Canberra, is it necessarily fragmenting in its support base? Because it does not seem to be more broadly in the electorate.
it's a bit of a paradox, but I think it is right that it's not at the moment fragmenting locally, and I think that this is a real worry for the major parties. That's not to say it'll be a long-term player, but with the Queensland election coming up, it will be a real danger to the major parties in that state. Candidates have been already announced by One Nation, or at least some of their candidates, and the general expectation is that it could get a fairly solid vote in Queensland. Ahead of the Queensland election, of course, we have the WA election early next year, and that'll be an early test for One Nation, although it's not as strong in that state. Rod Cuddleton going, I think, is no great surprise. He and his leader, former leader, have been exchanging verbal shots for some time. Of course, how long he stays in the Senate will be determined by the High Court, which is looking at whether he was eligible to stand in the first place.
Obviously, One Nation in Queensland making a very clear effort to distinguish One Nation today from One Nation previously. Do you think the Queensland electorate is willing to sort of forgive and forget what has happened before in terms of the kind of disintegration of the party? And what's driving this real push in support for One Nation, particularly in regional Queensland?
What's driving it is the general disillusionment of people with the political process, with the major parties, with politicians in general, and One Nation is able to pick up that discontent, sweep it up, portray itself as being anti the current system. And I think it's more negative factors than positive factors that's likely to drive the party's support. Of course, people do remember what happened last time, but they're willing, probably in many cases, to discount that just because they want to give the majors a slap. And that's the real danger that the main parties face.
All right. Thank you very much. We'll leave it there. As always, I think that's the last time we're speaking to you before Christmas, isn't it, Michelle?
It is indeed.
Thanks, Hamish, great Christmas.
And to you.
Michelle Grattan is Chief Political Correspondent with The Conversation and Professorial Fellow at Canberra University. It is 8 minutes to 8. You're listening to RN Breakfast.